Children of Dune by Frank Herbert, continued. Cassette 6, Side 1.
Did you kill my grandson?
Jessica asked.
Farradin answered truthfully. I did not. I recently learned of a plot, but it was not of my making.
Jessica looked at Wencicia, saw the gloating expression on that heart-shaped face, thought,
Her doing. The lioness schemes for her cub.
This was a game the lioness might live to regret. Returning her attention to Farradin, Jessica said,
But the sisterhood believes you killed him.
Farradin turned to his mother.
Show her the message.
As Wencicia hesitated, he spoke with an edge of anger which Jessica noted for future use.
I said show it to her.
Face pale, Wencicia presented the message face of the cube to Jessica, activated it. Words flowed across the face, responding to Jessica's eye movements.
Bene Gesserit Council on Wallach 9 files formal protest against House Carino in assassination of Leto Atreides II. Arguments and showing of evidence are assigned to Lansrod Internal Security Commission. Neutral ground will be chosen, and names of judges will be submitted for approval by all parties. Your immediate response required. Sabit Rikush for the Lansrod.
Wencicia returned to her son's side.
How do you intend to respond?
Jessica asked. Wencicia said,
Since my son has not yet been formally invested as head of House Carino, I will... Where are you going?
This last was addressed to Farradin, who, as she spoke, turned and headed for a side door near the watchful mute.
Farradin paused, half-turned. I'm going back to my books and the other pursuits which hold much more interest for me. How dare you?
Wencicia demanded. A dark flush spread from her neck up across her cheeks.
I'll dare quite a few things in my own name, Farradin said. You have made decisions in my name, decisions which I find extremely distasteful. Either I will make the decisions in my own name from this point on, or you can find yourself another heir for House Carino.
Jessica passed her gaze swiftly across the participants in this confrontation, seeing the real anger in Farradin. The Bashar aide stood stiffly at attention, trying to make it appear that he had heard nothing. Wencicia hesitated on the brink of screaming rage. Farradin appeared perfectly willing to accept any outcome from his throw of the dice. Jessica rather admired his poise, seeing many things in this confrontation which could be of value to her. It seemed that the decision to send assassin tigers against her grandchildren had been made without Farradin's knowledge. There could be little doubt of his truthfulness in saying he'd learned of the plot after its inception. There was no mistaking the real anger in his eyes as he stood there, ready to accept any decision. Wencicia took a deep, trembling breath, then...
Very well. The formal investiture will take place tomorrow. You may act in advance of it now.
She looked at Titanic, who refused to meet her gaze.
There'll be a screaming fight once mother and son get out of here, Jessica thought. But I do believe he has won.
She allowed her thoughts to return then to the message from the Lansrod. The sisterhood had judged their messengers with a finesse which did credit to Bene Gesserit planning. Hidden in the formal notice of protest was a message for Jessica's eyes. The fact of the message said the sisterhood spies knew Jessica's situation, and they'd gauged Farradin with a superb nicety to guess he'd show it to his captive.
I'd like an answer to my question,
Jessica said, addressing herself to Farradin as he returned to face her.
I shall tell the Lansrod that I had nothing to do with this assassination,
Farradin said.
I will add that I share the sisterhood's distaste for the manner of it, although I cannot be completely displeased at the outcome. My apologies for any grief this may have caused you. Fortune passes everywhere. Fortune passes everywhere,
Jessica thought. That had been a favorite saying of her duke, and there had been something in Farradin's manner which said he knew this. She forced herself to ignore the possibility that they'd really killed Leto. She had to assume that Ganima's fears for Leto had motivated a complete revelation of the twins' plan. The smugglers would put Gurney in position to meet Leto then, and the sisterhood's devices would be carried out. Leto had to be tested. He had to be. Without the testing, he was doomed as Alia was doomed. And Ganima? Well, that could be faced later. There was no way to send the pre-born before a reverend mother, Gaius Helen Mohiam. Jessica allowed herself a deep sigh.
Sooner or later, she said, it'll occur to someone that you and my granddaughter could unite our two houses and heal old wounds.
This has already been mentioned to me as a possibility, Farradin said, glancing briefly at his mother.
My response was that I'd prefer to await the outcome of recent events on Arrakis. There's no need for a hasty decision. There's always the possibility that you've already played into my daughter's hands, Jessica said.
Farradin stiffened.
Explain. Matters on Arrakis are not as they may seem to you, Jessica said. Alia plays her own game, Abomination's game. My granddaughter is in danger, unless Alia can contrive a way to use her. You expect me to believe that you and your daughter oppose each other? That Atreides fights Atreides?
Jessica looked at Wencesia, back to Faradin.
Carino fights Carino.
A wry smile moved Faradin's lips.
Well taken. How would I have played into your daughter's hands? By becoming implicated in my grandson's death. By abducting me.
Don't trust this witch, Wencesia cautioned.
I'll choose whom to trust, Mother, Faradin said.
Forgive me, Lady Jessica, but I don't understand this matter of abduction. I'd understood that you and your faithful retainer,
who is Alia's husband, Jessica said.
Faradin turned a measuring stare on Idaho, looked to the Bashar.
What think you, Tyke?
The Bashar apparently was having thoughts similar to those Jessica professed. He said,
I like her reasoning. Caution.
He's a golem mentat, Faradin said. We could test him to the death and not find a certain answer.
But it's a safe working assumption that we may have been tricked, Tykanic said.
Jessica knew the moment had come to make her move. Now, if Idaho's grief only kept him locked in the part he'd chosen. She disliked using him this way, but there were larger considerations.
To begin with, Jessica said, I might announce publicly that I came here of my own free choice.
Interesting, Faradin said.
You'd have to trust me and grant me the complete freedom of Seleucus Secundus, Jessica said. There could be no appearance that I spoke out of compulsion.
No, Wencesia protested. Faradin ignored her.
What reason would you give? That I'm the Sisterhood's plenipotentiary sent here to take over your education.
But the Sisterhood accuses that'd require a decisive action from you, Jessica said.
Don't trust her,
Wencesia said. With extreme politeness, Faradin glanced at her, said,
If you interrupt me once more, I'll have Tyke remove you. He heard you consent to the formal investiture. That binds him to me now.
She's a witch, I tell you.
Wencesia looked to the mute against the side wall. Faradin hesitated. Then,
Tyke, what think you? Have I been witched?
Not in my judgment.
You've both been witched.
Mother?
His tone was flat and final. Wencesia clenched her fists, tried to speak, whirled, and fled the room. Addressing himself once more to Jessica, Faradin asked,
Would the Bene Gesserit consent to this?
They would.
Faradin absorbed the implications of this, smiled tightly.
What does the Sisterhood want in all of this?
Your marriage to my granddaughter.
Idaho shot a questioning look at Jessica, made as though to speak, but remained silent. Jessica said,
You were going to say something, Duncan?
I was going to say that the Bene Gesserit want what they've always wanted, a universe which won't interfere with them.
An obvious assumption, Faradin said, but I hardly see why you intrude with it.
Idaho's eyebrows managed the shrug which the Shigawire would not permit his body. Disconcertingly, he smiled. Faradin saw the smile, whirled to confront Idaho.
I amuse you.
This whole situation amuses me. Someone in your family has compromised the Spacing Guild by using them to carry instruments of assassination to Arrakis, instruments whose intent could not be concealed. You've offended the Bene Gesserit by killing a male they wanted for their breeding pro... You call me a liar, Gola?
No, I believe you didn't know about the plot, but I thought the situation needed bringing into focus.
Don't forget that he's a mentat, Jessica cautioned.
My very thought, Faradin said.
Once more he faced Jessica.
Let us say that I free you, and you make your announcement. That still leaves the matter of your grandson's death. The mentat is correct.
Was it your mother?
Jessica asked.
My lord,
Tykanic warned.
It's all right, Tyke.
Faradin waved a hand easily.
And if I say it was my mother?
Risking everything in the test of this internal break among the Carino, Jessica said,
You must denounce her and banish her.
My lord,
Tykanic said,
there could be trickery within trickery here.
Idaho said,
And the Lady Jessica and I are the ones who've been tricked.
Faradin's jaw hardened, and Jessica thought,
Don't interfere, Duncan, not now.
But Idaho's words had sent her own Bene Gesserit abilities at logic into motion. He shocked her. She began to wonder if there were the possibility that she was being used in ways she didn't understand. Ganima and Leto. The preborn could draw upon countless inner experiences, a storehouse of advice far more extensive than the living Bene Gesserit depended upon.
And there was that other question. Had her own sisterhood been completely candid with her? They still might not trust her. After all, she'd betrayed them once, to her duke. Ferraden looked at Idaho with a puzzled frown.
Mentat, I need to know what this preacher is to you.
He arranged the passage here. We did not exchange 10 words. Others acted for him. He could be Paul Atreides, but I don't have enough data for certainty. All I know for certain is that it was time for me to leave, and he had the means.
You speak of being tricked, Ferraden reminded him.
Alia expects you to kill us quietly and conceal the evidence of it, Idaho said. Having rid her of the Lady Jessica, I'm no longer useful. And the Lady Jessica, having served her sisterhood's purposes, is no longer useful to them. Alia will be calling the Bene Gesserit to account, but they will win.
Jessica closed her eyes in concentration. He was right. She could hear the Mentat firmness in his voice, that deep sincerity of pronouncement. The pattern fell into place without a chink. She took 2 deep breaths and triggered the mnemonic trance, rolled the data through her mind, came out of the trance and opened her eyes. It was done while Ferraden moved from in front of her to a position within 1/2 step of Idaho, a space of no more than 3 steps.
"Say no more, Duncan," Jessica said,
and she thought mournfully of how Leto had warned her against Bene Gesserit conditioning. Idaho, about to speak, closed his mouth.
"I command here," Ferraden said. "Continue, Mentat."
Idaho remained silent. Ferraden half-turned to study Jessica. She stared at a point on the far wall, reviewing what Idaho and the trance had built. The Bene Gesserit hadn't abandoned the Atreides line, of course, but they wanted control of a Kwisatz Haderach, and they'd invested too much in the long breeding program. They wanted the open clash between Atreides and Carino, a situation where they could step in as arbiters. And Duncan was right. They'd emerge with control of both Ganyma and Ferraden. It was the only compromise possible. The wonder was that Alia hadn't seen it. Jessica swallowed past a tightness in her throat. Alia. Abomination. Ganyma was right to pity her. But who was left to pity Ganyma?
"The Sisterhood has promised to put you on the throne with Ganyma as your mate," Jessica said.
Ferraden took a backward step. Did the witch read minds?
"They worked secretly and not through your mother," Jessica said. "They told you I was not privy to their plan."
Jessica read revelation in Ferraden's face. How open he was. But it was true, the whole structure. Idaho had demonstrated masterful abilities as a Mentat in seeing through to the fabric on the limited data available to him.
"So they played a double game and told you," Ferraden said. "They told me nothing of this," Jessica said. "Duncan was correct. They tricked me."
She nodded to herself. It had been a classic delaying action in the Sisterhood's traditional pattern, a reasonable story, easily accepted because it squared with what one might believe of their motives. But they wanted Jessica out of the way, a flawed sister who'd failed them once. Tychanic moved to Ferraden's side.
"My lord, these two are too dangerous to—"
"Wait a bit, Tyke," Ferraden said. "There are wheels within wheels here."
He faced Jessica.
"We've had reasons to believe that Alia might offer herself as my bride."
Idaho gave an involuntary start, controlled himself. Blood began dripping from his left wrist where the sugar wire had cut. Jessica allowed herself a small, eye-widening response. She who'd known the original Leto as lover, father of her children, confidant, and friend, saw his trait of cold reasoning filtered now through the twistings of an abomination.
"Will you accept?"
Idaho asked.
"It is being considered." "Duncan, I told you to be silent," Jessica said.
She addressed Ferraden.
"Her price was 2 inconsequential deaths, the 2 of us.
"We suspected treachery," Ferraden said. "Wasn't it your son who said treachery breeds treachery?"
"The Sisterhood is out to control both Atreides and Carino," Jessica said. "Isn't that obvious?"
"We're toying now with the idea of accepting your offer, Lady Jessica. But Duncan Idaho should be sent back to his loving wife."